Do we need to do remote or anything?
No, okay. No, we did not post it as remote.
All right, perfect. And we will start the Thursday, May 2nd, 2024 Public Safety Committee meeting. Present, Alderman Transier, Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Soley. Alderman Cornelius is joining us today. Megan, our attorney.
Deputy Chief Carlisle.
Yep. Chief Jensen and Marlis, our minutes taker. No one's here, so no citizen comments. Do we have any corrections, additions, deletions from the March 7th, 24 minutes? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Item number one, Public Safety 2024-8, monthly report review for February, March 2024.
Sounds good. Before I get into that, can we adjust 3 and 4? 3 is the Bertrand, that's where we're going to be going.
You want to move that to number 1?
Yeah. Can we move that to number, move number 3 to number 4?
Just
number 4 to 3.
Okay,
yes.
That's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. All right, the February monthly report. Just going to go through this fairly quickly. More comments more on the March than the February, just because it kind of runs into one another. Our overtime hours worked, of the 88.5 hours of overtime for the month, 40 of them are reimbursed overtime through CPAP money. We also have FTO. We are in the training program, so 15.5 of the 88.5 hours were the FTO. Jumping into community policing initiatives, one of our Facebook posts are testing. So our current activity with testing for officers, we are currently fully staffed. Actually, we are plus one right now, and we will be until about Saturday when Bear's last day. So Officer Reyes graduated from the police academy this last Friday. He was our 32nd officer. We hired Cameron Bonner. We had to get him in. He goes to the academy on Sunday. So we had to get him in right away to get to the academy. So we're authorized 33. We now have 34. Bear's leaving on Saturday, so we're back down to 33.
Where's he going?
He's going to Oswego PD. So so that's kind of where we're at. Our last testing process, last three testing processes, we had 55, 54, and this last one, 47 applicants. We're going through the interview phases. We're setting up dates to do the oral interviews now for the new officers, and we hope to have a good list. We're going to be testing every year. That's just kind of the way that it is. Getting people to pass backgrounds has been difficult. And then people are finding jobs elsewhere. Everybody's testing, and everyone's moving. People are jumping. So,
how's that testing number look historically compared to our years in the past?
Actually, it's been pretty high. When I start, I can't speak for prior to 5 years ago, but since I've been here, we've been as high as 60-some. 47's not bad. Montgomery had, I think, 8. They had less than 20.
So the testing numbers, we're not seeing a substantial drop-off as of yet?
No, okay. No. But what we're finding is a lot of people are testing a lot of different departments. And, you know, usually at the academy time, when the academy starts, people start jumping off the list because they're getting hired, because everybody did the same thing we do. We hire right before the academy, and then we send people to the academy. So
that list gets short quick.
It gets short very quick, which is why we'll be testing every year. Let's see. Severe weather updates. We posted that. We also, going down to the February 27th Facebook, we are posting or had posted for an open records clerk position. We had one records clerk that had been here just about 4 years. Nicole, she had left to go to River Forest. She's 5 minutes from her house. She had about a 55-minute drive to come here. She was with us for almost 4 years. Got a supervisor job at the police department by her house. Can't blame her. Natalie is leaving on the 15th of May. She's going to the Aurora Police Department from about $51,000 that we pay her to about $75,000 in Aurora, doing evidence custodian work in their evidence room at Aurora PD. We have hired Nicole's replacement. She's about 3 weeks on now. Crystal Beeritz, a really nice girl. She actually worked for Tim's office several years ago and came back to the city, and super nice, fitting in really well. And then we have hired or will be hiring Kendall Harris. She starts on May 20th to replace Natalie. So we are all caught up there. A couple other Facebook posts. We have the annual Battle of the Badge blood drive, which Garrett Carlisle did not get blood. Just wanted to point that out.
I will volunteer for a lot of things, but blood is meant to be involved.
And we did beat Sheriff's Office again, so it was good.
I didn't give this year either. I totally forgot. But I turned like a ghost last year. I had like five people standing around me.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Funkhauser hasn't given either, so.
Sure.
I didn't do funkhauser either.
Sure. Sure.
I get stuck enough involuntarily. I don't want to get stuck voluntarily.
Well, I get it. Our training hours, just under 494 hours. Our traffic crashes, we had 21 short forms, total of 51 for the month of February, 21 short forms, meaning private property crashes, 30 regular crashes. Our number of traffic concerns for the month, January and February both, we had two major traffic concerns. And then if you go through the rest of the report, you'll see our monitor patrol areas, which cover those traffic concerns. Bristol Ridge Road, we had 9 directed patrols. We had 24 total stops on Bristol Ridge Road. Most of them were for speeding. Center Parkway, 34 stops. It was an area that we've been, Sam came in and talked about the traffic program that he has. He's been doing a really good job keeping track of numbers with complaints and monitoring complaints and how much time we spend in a particular area, Center Parkway being one of them. So
right by the church, see them all the time.
Yep. So, and in Center Parkway, of the 34, 14 of them were non-moving violations, which is kind of weird. You would think you get stop sign and speeding violations, but they're non-moving. So we'll keep monitoring that. Van Emmon, we had 3. Downtown 47, we had 124. Downtown, or 34, we had 167. Speeds have been absolutely crazy. We're getting speeds of 75 to 95 miles an hour. It is, and it's not often, but it's weekly. You know, we're getting cars going that fast. Fox Street, we had 60. I just sent out an email to staff today. You know, I have not received any complaints from residents in the last 2 months on McHugh or Fox. To the contrary, I've gotten calls from residents saying, thanks for being out here. They're noticing that they're out there. They made 60 stops on West Fox Street. 56 of them were for speeding. So during the course of the month, we had 9 total locations that they're monitoring, 198 details, and 347 total hours spent in the 9 places. Again, kind of goes along with what Sam has presented to you guys in the past. Jump over to our investigations unit. As far as assigned criminal cases, we're up 5 from last year. The good thing is, knock on wood, they're not super big, long, detailed criminal investigations. Where we're seeing just a huge increase is backgrounds. They're doing a ton of backgrounds. Total cases assigned, we're even at this time last year. Going to total reports, which covers investigations and patrol. If we look at our total reports, we're plus 13 February to February, 23 to 24. We're plus 13, and the major increase is in 911 hangups. We've talked about that a couple months in a row, where even your 911 hangups, cell phones, we have to take police reports from those now. So KenCom is dispatching those. So that's been the major increase. Motorist assist. In February, we had, you know, some weather, so that was also an increase in our motorist assist. Jumping to our overall calls for service, our total incidents, we were 377 up. Part of the reason for that is traffic. They're running a lot more traffic than what they have been. Going to our mental health crisis intervention calls, we are 7. We had 12 in 23, we had 5 in 24. So the overall mental health calls have dropped a little bit. Voluntary committals have dropped, and our overall car follow-ups have dropped a little bit, which is a very good different times of the year you'll see that jump up. So, and that is it for February.
Anyone have any questions? No?
All right. March. Let's see, as far as overtime again, 85.25 hours, 39.5 were reimbursed through HIDA, and then we had 14.5, which is street coverage. February and March, I don't know about you guys at work, but we got hit with some illnesses, people getting sick, cold, flu. So we've had some of that where we've had to backfill. Jumping to some of the community, Facebook post, you guys, we recognize several people at city council meeting. That post is in here for life-saving opportunities. We had our polar plunge. That is in here as well.
Chief, did you plunge?
No.
Okay, because I plunged.
You had to call me out on that, didn't you? Now it hurts. I'll get stuck by a needle while I ain't jumping in cold water.
It's not cold. It's sitting in a vat on the ground. It's not light anymore.
Is that ice water?
Couldn't tell you. I didn't jump in. Wait a minute. Did you do either of them?
I was there.
The blood draw or the thing? I'm just asking. obviously, the virtual, which we're going to try tonight. Chris Hayes probably had one of the funniest posts I think I've seen on any social media, Facebook. In honor of National Good Hair Day, all he does is post from about here up, and it shows his bald head. And every single person responded, that's Chris Hayes, that's Chris Hayes. So it was just kind of funny. It actually got a ton of hits. As far as training hours, we had 470. Crashes, we were significantly down for the month of March from 50 to 35. 11 of them were private property crashes. We had two additional concerns in March for a total of 6 for the year for traffic. Center Parkway, 32 stops for the month of March. 21 of them were for speeding. So a couple other areas, McHugh Road had 16, 34 had 154, downtown 148, West Fox Street, 52. So one of the things that we're noticing, if you look at the traffic enforcement section, you're going to see citations. We're up 9 citations from March of 23. We are up 321 written warnings. So one of the things that we don't do, we don't tell our people. I can't tell them they have to write tickets. I can't do that. What we're hoping is they're in an area for so long and they get sick of being in the area that they just start writing tickets to slow people down. But that's up to the officer because I can't force them to write tickets. So they're making a lot of stops. Obviously in Center Parkway, a lot of that's crossover from 47 to 34 people or vice versa. They want to miss the light. You know, that's just some of it. We had 218 details. The previous month we were 198, and then we spent just under 352 hours. Non-criminal cases assigned. We were up 58 from this time last year with 105. And again, the difference is background checks. We're doing a ton of background checks for Parks and Recreation. They're coaches. They also have that school program. That we partner with them on, and we're doing background checks on all the high school kids that have any interaction with kids, little kids at the daycare. So that's really the significant increase. When we talk reports, we're up 11 total reports from this time last year, or at the same time as compared to last year. 911 hangups were up 26, motorist assists were up 18. So when I look at the criminal type reports coming up, we're actually lower in some of the criminal categories, which is a good thing. When you look at the assault offenses, NIBRS reporting, our crimes against person were +8, crimes against property were -1, our total crimes were +7. So our total crimes with the NIBRS staying pretty consistent with what we've been at the last couple of years. Crisis intervention calls are down again, -16 from this time last year. And our overall calls for service incidences are 362, again, has to do with traffic. So, and that is it for March.
Anyone have any questions about March?
I just have one quick question. When you do the background checks, like if you're doing it for Parks and Rec, does that come out of your budget or do they reimburse you for the
if
time?
If we fingerprint, it comes out of Parks and Rec.
Okay.
The time, there's no cost with anything. Like the high school kids or the coaches get fingerprinted, that comes out of Parks and Rec's budget. When we do the high school kids, they fill out a one-page, two-page form, and that's our time that we take for that. So,
I would assume the cost of fingerprinting is rolled out of the registration fee for the activities.
Sure. It covers everything.
I equipment and think insurance so, but, and all yeah, that, I couldn't so. Tell you for sure.
Yeah. On that. So, but it's kind of it's crazy. City's growing, so obviously you get more kids in sports. I think Tim's numbers have increased dramatically. So.
And they do a good job.
They do a fantastic job. Absolutely. That's why the kids are coming. So.
Any questions? Anyone else? No? So now we're going to do item number four, PS 2024-11, the Information Center update.
Adjudication.
Oh, I'm sorry. We skipped over that. You're right.
This one's easy, though.
Number two, adjudication reports for March and April of 24.
So as you guys have probably noticed, we actually are only doing two adjudications a month instead of once every week. So a couple of the big calls on here, you get a lot of the same stuff that we're kind of used to, possession of cannabis at the school. The high school is cracking down a lot more, so you're going to see a couple more of the cannabis tickets from the school. Sale to minors, we had Crusade and we had Fox Republic, God bless you. That was a sale to a minor on an alcohol sting, the two locations there. Jumping to March 18th, there's really nothing of note on there. Possession of cannabis, impounded vehicles. Lennar Holmes had some signs that I believe Pete and his crew ticketed them for, but those tickets were dismissed. On 4-1, we have a couple different ones on here. We have Dog Bite. The same person got two tickets. The dog got loose, ran out of off their property, went over to the neighbor, bit the guy in the hand. He was issued two citations. They dismissed one and found it liable on the other, which is pretty typical. They don't usually find liable on both tickets. So the hearing officer dismissed the dog bite, and then because the guy couldn't prove that they had rabies inoculations, he was found liable for that. And that's pretty much it. There's a couple open burning tickets. People burning when they shouldn't be, and people calling and complaining. That's that.
Anyone have questions? No? Now we'll do number four, 2024-11, the Information Center update discussion.
All right. I'm going to turn that over to Garrett Carlisle.
All right. You know what? There was some updates that I wanted from you guys, but really I think the best way to kind of explain what we're working with our Information Center is just to kind of show it to you guys. So, yeah, if you guys wouldn't mind going on a field trip with me, I'll fire it up downstairs and I kind of show you what our programs are and tell you kind of what we've been working on, if that works for everyone. So,
yeah. You can come back up here. We can go from here.
I'll wait here, and anybody comes, I'll direct them down.
Okay.
Sound good?
Or I can wait here.
If you want to, that's
yeah, because I'm not taking notes. It's an executive session.
Okay.
And I don't think I need to know about the Information Center. So you guys have at it. I'll wait here.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Sir.
First floor, right?
Got a second.
Second floor.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to see some more of City Hall here.
Mm-hmm. Got another badge. My badge says
it. Can't get through here.
I've never checked it, but
I'm pretty sure you can.
Maybe.
Pretty sure
I've never tried it, but.
So, I'll drop
this is where you're going to put the bags.
This was supposed to be pool tables.
Yeah. You guys were supposed to move it to that side. Get it out of the way so we can still fit that.
So one of the things, I'll start before Garrett jumps into this. So obviously you guys are well aware, you've seen this center before. We've talked a little bit about the goals of what we're trying to do, what the costs have been. I know you guys don't know who the donor is, but we've had the donor out recently to show them the system, what their money's doing. Garrett has been really the one in charge of getting everything going. You know, I worked with the chiefs, and the chiefs will say, yeah, we can make it happen, but that's just the verbal side. Garrett's been the one working with the deputy chiefs and the detective sergeants from the other agencies, because we are counting on participation from other law enforcement partners. This center, Garrett's going to talk in detail about what it is, but he's the one that has really taken the bull by the horns and
really focused on trying to hone this thing and get it going and training staff. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
So I'm learning that trying to get five agencies to work with one another, especially when we're starting something from scratch, is a little hard. You know, I told those guys that there's no template for this. We're just building it from scratch. And so we can make it what we want. But the rollout's gone a little slower than I anticipated. And I'll kind of, you guys understand it once I kind of get into kind of how some of this works. But so far, we've got all five agencies working with us. So County, Plano, Montgomery, Oswego, and then us. Each one of us has taken a day. And so what we decided was that we were going to give the investigators sending their guys over, so they just do it on their work hours. So whatever their hours are, they come here for one day a week and just kind of man the center. So what our vision was just a supplement for patrol. But you guys know, most everybody nowadays is hitting on their phone like crazy. And so what we tried to do was to get a collection of software programs that would just kind of help supplement if things were happening on the street, where we could just see what we could utilize here. So I was just going to show you guys kind of some of the things we've been working with. I thought it was kind of neat. Let me know if you guys can't see. I can move these screens around. So we bought a handful of programs. You know, we have Flock access. I know you guys are all familiar with Flock. Obviously, like, we only use that in limited circumstances. But there were a couple other things that I wanted to look at. One was the Shadow Dragon. It's called Shadow Dragon, and basically it's just it's an open source information system. So I can plug in just a variety of different things, and it will scour 150 plus different social media sites, YouTube, Google, everything, to see what we can collect that's just kind of out there on people. And it's kind of scary what you can actually find.
Give an example.
So let's do an example. let's do me. And you guys have to promise me that you're not going to judge me as I put my own personal information in here.
So the judging has begun.
let's call this a demo. So program fires up. I'm sitting here. We have our guys pull up calls for service, right? So let's say one of our guys, somebody comes in and says, "Hey, this guy I was buying drugs from totally just jumped me." We're like, "Okay, what do you got?" "Well, I know that he goes by, you know, Garrett _ Carlisle, if I can spell, on Instagram, and that's where he posts his dope pictures, and that's where I pick up from him." "All right, what else you got?" "Well, I text him at his telephone number, 815-483-1212. That's how I get a hold of him." So I hear that, and we're like, "Okay." So I put my search criteria of an alias, search criteria of a telephone number, and this can search everything. So let's say you said you talked to him on Instagram, right? So it's running its query. All I've got is Garrett Carlisle. Well, sure enough, here's an Instagram account registered to Garrett Carlisle. You can jump straight to a URL, and so I keep my stuff locked down on private. So the thing about any open source investigation stuff is that we could get to Instagram if we had a warrant. But if a person's foolish enough to leave their stuff unlocked, then it's free game. And most everybody leaves their stuff unlocked. I'm noticing that as the years go on with social media, people are starting to lock it down more and more. But you'd be surprised what's out there. So I'm going to put that one on hold for just a second, because I want to show you guys something pretty cool. But then you talk about, "Well, here's this telephone number. What can you tell me about this guy?" So we run a bulk search. And this might take a minute while it's doing its query. So that Instagram thing, so check this out. I'll go to my Instagram account. Let me change my settings from private to public. Go back home and how do you post a picture? Let's take a picture. So I'll take a picture of myself. Let's share. All right, so now I just posted a picture of myself to Instagram. Remind me to turn that off. Okay. So anyways, so our patrol guys are on the street. They're like, hey, I know this dude's Instagram handle, and I know his telephone number. So I just ran that query, right? And I'm like, well, here's a Mitchell G. Carlisle, and this is a Garrett Carlisle. This might be it. So this is where it gets kind of scary. So I click on this query, right? And it starts populating all this information. Look at this. Address, 13365 Hughes Road, Newark, Illinois.
That's me.
That's my house. Click on this. Hey, how old's that guy? I don't know. He's probably pretty old. He looks young for his age. I'm guessing, 40-ish. Yep, that's him. 13365 Hughes Road. There it is on a map. Phone numbers. Potential email addresses. How much I paid for my house. Previous addresses. Oh, look, here's his spouse, relatives,
man.
All sorts of stuff, right? Crazy, just in a moment. So go back to this, and I can keep scrolling through. Here's potential different aliases, different names, telephone numbers. That's my wife's number. It's an old house number. That's the number I grew up at. That's my cell phone number. So if you can click on these, and it'll tell our guys right away who owns this number. Oh, this is owned by Mitchell Carlisle. So it is just, these are all open source, things that bring this all in. And I look at this, Kara Kelemez. It's my sister in North Carolina. Mark Carlisle, uncle in North Carolina. My grandpa that passed, uncles. Andrew Kelemez, he'd hate this because he's a police officer in North Carolina. But I click on this. Hey, look at that. 574 Easy Street in Concord, North Carolina. That's where they live. So it's pretty crazy how quickly you can get information from
this
stuff like
that. This used to take weeks.
Oh, and subpoenas.
Yeah.
And just everything. And it's the click
weeks.
Of the button.
Months.
Yeah.
Months, yeah.
So
you saw it in 2 minutes.
So going back to, and what's neat about the reason that we selected this program is that some of them, they use databases that can be months old. And we selected this program because they're like, hey, our stuff updates pretty quickly. So the Instagram thing that I showed you guys, check this out.
There it is.
Just like that. So
nice mugshot.
Yeah, nice mugshot. That thing is going down soon.
He's going to forget.
So now I'm like, okay, well, here's this knucklehead's Instagram account where he's posting pictures of whatever. I spun his number. Now I know, what his name and address is. I know that he's 40 years old. So what else can I find out about this guy? So that's when we transitioned from Shadow Dragon that uses open source to stuff that's a little more detailed that we can only access for law enforcement purposes. So this is when we brought in this program called CLEAR. The only folks that can have access to the amount of information that we have access to is for law enforcement purposes. So you have to sign acknowledgments and all that. It's all tracked about what you're logging into here. So now I know I've got this Mitchell G. Carlisle, right? So Carlisle, Mitchell G. And we know he is in, let's see. Well, we know he's in Illinois, right? So let's say, all right, who is this dude? Runs a search. So it'll return back, okay, Mitchell G. Carlisle. Oh, by the way, here's his full driver's license number, full social security number, his full birth date, and we get that from an Instagram handle and a telephone number just in a few minutes. Spouse is Gwendolyn. It'll give me all your relatives, all your associates. And what's funny about this is I look at Zach Schmidt, county deputy, party to multiple same real estate transactions. I sold my home to him. I noticed on here Chad Vargas, detective sergeant, Oswego PD. I sold a boat trailer to him years ago, and it pops up. But as you search through here,
it's crazy, isn't it?
You can see things like
that's all public record too, because the Secretary of State
pulling it together.
Right,
faster than you can go try to track any of it down. You can't.
It would take months to figure that out.
And so what our hope is that this is stuff that, yes, can be done after the fact, but there's times, say you have a domestic incident where a guy takes off. Well, we can run him through this and say, hey, looks to me like, you know, this Mitchell D. Carlisle, born in 58, that looks like a parent. They've shared multiple addresses, multiple vehicles, telephone numbers, and he lives at, you know, 118 North Bend Street in Plano. Didn't you guys say he went westbound? Why don't you guys check there? And so that's the type of information that we're hoping to be able to communicate to patrol that dispatch wouldn't have the time to do, nor would those patrol guys. And so our guys that are in the center, they've got a couple of radios listening to both police frequencies. And yeah, it's a lot for them to balance for the whole county, but we're hoping that as they get more familiar with it, they can hear the radio go off, start spinning some of this stuff, and then get a hold of our guys and say, hey, why don't you check this address or that address? So to go back to my story, if you know, they're downstairs, yeah, this is a guy buying drugs from him, that's his number, okay. We can spin this through our dispatch center, get a driver's license photo, send it to those guys. Hey, is this the guy? Oh yeah, that's totally him. Okay. Hey, he was in a blue pickup truck and he took off. Did you get a plate or anything? No, just a blue truck. So we can go back into our search, go into vehicles, and let's just say, okay, Carlisle, we'll leave the first name blank. Guys from Newark, everybody from Newark is a pain in the tail.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it has a truck.
It has a truck, right? Yeah. So,
or two or three.
So run search, right? So it'll show me the vehicles that are registered to any Carlisle in Newark, Illinois. Well, here's one for Mitchell Carlisle, STRS, and this plate expired in 2018. So that's pretty old, and the address doesn't come back. No, it does come back to my current address. Actually, I think this was my trailer that I sold to Chad Vargas. I'm like, okay, that doesn't work. I'm like, well, what else we got? Well, we got a Gwendolyn Carlisle, and I know that was his spouse from my previous search, and there's a Toyota Tundra. Okay, well, here's the title, here's the license plate, Yakfish, and the expiration is current, and that comes back to his address. Okay, hey guys, you're looking for a blue Toyota Tundra license plate Yakfish. He's probably driving to his fishing hole. Just like that. Pretty neat stuff. So a couple of the other things that this program does, and I won't really get into the weeds of it. I was messing around with it today. So I can search by GPS coordinates. I want to be respectful of your time, but I just want to show you guys this because it's really kind of neat. Let me pull up Google Maps. So say we are having problems with, let's say we're having problems with bars down in the area here. So I can copy this GPS coordinate. And then I want to tell it, hey, why don't you search Snapchat for anybody that's posted anything publicly on Snapchat in that area, drawing GPS box. So just in a moment's notice, it gives me 145 snaps that people have posted in and around that area.
So you've heard me say prior to geofencing an area, if we have a fight in the high school, you can put that at that high school lat long.
And it's going to pull up whatever people posted.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So here's some guys.
I'm going, you're like a defense attorney. We should not have Dan in this room.
I know. Yeah. I was thinking about that as we were having.
But again, all open source, right?
It is.
This is all stuff that you have agreed to in the terms and conditions.
And if you post it, lose it.
Exactly.
You know? So
you
keep
in mind.
You want to post yourself doing lines of coke in the bathroom at the high school? Guess what?
It's there. Yeah.
People are going to find it.
So
and
keep
this
in
just
mind.
Makes it easier to find it.
Absolutely. So keep in mind. This tied with, and I'm going to throw out just a different example. So have you ever plugged your phone into your car? Okay. When you plug it into a car, your phone stuff is now downloaded on your car. We have a fatal car crash. We have ISP right there. They have the tools. We have to get a warrant to do it. they can plug that in and get everything off of your vehicle.
Right.
Because it's all computerized.
Yep.
It is crazy.
So, and part
how
of
this goes.
Part of our vision with this too is that, say, hometown day is here. I'd love to have. We've got everybody working, right? Well, let's take one person. We can man in here. We can monitor by hashtag. We can monitor by geofence with hometown days, and say a fight breaks out or somebody something starts happening, we can instantly start having this stuff populate, which would be really neat. So one of the other, that's kind of where we're at with the computer stuff right now. The other thing that I wanted to show you guys, but we've only got a few people with access, is a Cellebrite machine. So that's the one thing that we've been able to use a lot since we started. So Cellebrite's just a computer program, like for forensics, to download cell phones or computers or anything like that. County had one, and it was just obsolete at this point. So we were able to build all three of these machines, like twice the spec. I don't want it to run it. I want it to run it well. So we've downloaded 10 phones so far. We assisted Montgomery with one, assisted with Plano with one. We did ours, and I think County did four of them. So those guys are telling me that they can get done in 15, 20 minutes what would have taken them a day to do with the other machine. So it's here, it's housed for anybody 24/7. Those guys can come in and download it. One of the other programs I promised I'm getting done is just one of the other programs I thought was really neat was a program called CellHawk. Actually, Oswego turned it on to me, and I think we're going to try to put it on here. It's if you get a warrant, you download that cell phone information, then we can put it into that program, and it'll draw live mapping about where phones are pinging off of cell towers. So Montgomery said they used it a few times with a few homicides of theirs to take a suspect, get a warrant, get his phone, use Cellebrite to download it, throw it into CellHawk, and it'll draw a map about where the person's phone was based off of historical data, and they can line it up with the crime and show, hey, person was in the area during the crime. The other neat thing is that it'll allow us to actively ping. So say your teenage daughter ran away, or we have a missing person and they've got a phone on them. That's an exigent circumstance that the cell phone provider will let us ping it. Well, then we can plug it into our program, and I can have a guy sitting here watching the ping go off on a map, and that way we can move our resources around and say, hey, looks like the ping's going north. Why don't you guys head that way? So that's kind of where we're at with it. A couple of the hurdles that we've had, to be honest, was that in my mind, I'm like, 2 weeks, we'll be rolling. Well, one of the things that we promised the guys is that if they're coming over here all day, then they would have access to their files back home, because thank goodness it is Yorkville, and at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, things aren't popping off where you're clicking buttons. I want them to be able to do their job. So trying to go through our firewalls back to Oswego's firewalls so those guys can get their files has been a little bit more difficult than we thought. And so we're still kind of sorting through some of that. And some of the other questions I've asked those guys, it's like, hey, why don't you jump on this? And they're like, honestly, I'm a Montgomery officer, and to get on the radio and talk directly to an Oswego officer and try to insert myself into their business, that's just not how we do things. And I get that, because that's not typical policing. So we're trying to sort through some of that, trying to have some monthly meetings to just kind of, hey guys, like, I know we're kind of jumping first and then we're looking where we're going to land, but I do see the potential in it. It's just kind of getting these guys spun up. And that program, that Shadow Dragon, can get really complicated to kind of start running through things. But all in all, it's going okay. Programs are working. And then I turn the TVs on. We can cast stuff up.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you cast? Yeah. While he's doing that, one of the things Garrett was talking earlier about other cases, so was it last week? No, it was 2 weeks ago. Aurora PD had that homicide, or that shooting. The husband shot the wife.
Yeah.
It was a domestic situation.
Yeah.
Well, they was heading towards Kendall County. We got word of it. The county guy who was working was in training. Two of our detectives jump on the first two screens. They were able to pull this stuff up and identify family members in Tennessee and Kentucky. So we were able to get all that information and data while they can jump on LPR to see if there's LPRs to try to track where the vehicles had hit. We could also reach out to local police agencies that person could be going through into and warn them, hey, this vehicle, this description could be heading this direction based on the information from here. So
letting the TV spin up, it'll spin up, then we can use it as another monitor and just throw stuff up there. So yeah, we've had a few cases where Shadow Dragon's actually helped our investigators a couple times. They had a few
child pornography cases, honestly, where they're like, hey, we know this one account. Well, so they took the guy's account information, plugged it in, and they were able to find several other accounts where this person was housing images that they weren't supposed to. And they were just able to get all of it. It happened in Oswego, and it happened for one of our guys, which was really cool. And then we had another one, too. I'm not sure if, thankfully, it didn't go out over the radio. We got a call at our front desk that there was a kid at the high school with a gun. The call came in, it was strange. The number was weird. Just things weren't adding up. So before we went guns a-blazing into the high school and causing all sorts of ruckus, as our guys were getting staged ready to go, just nothing was adding up. We were able to fire this thing up. The guys were already here, plugged in the information. We saw that it was a spoof number created from an IP address, like in Washington State or something like that. We're like, hey, slow down, guys. This is looking like it's kind of junk. And typically we can figure that stuff out, but what I thought was neat was that with this program, we were able to get IP addresses and then start the subpoena and search warrant process, so potentially not only find out that it's fake, but actually circle back around and maybe hold that person accountable for trying to swat somebody in another state. So as these guys are trying to figure it out, it's already kind of paid off. So, but yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, does that make sense or questions or... You want to run your stuff through here?
I love this kind of stuff.
this is my minority report stuff.
Yes. You know?
Next, you're going to be standing up at the screens going like this with your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. It's neat. So we're working with the school district to get Verkada. That's the camera systems that they have. Because that's one thing we really like, is that if something did happen with our schools, then we can access the cameras here and direct
our guys. You
don't have
that yet for their access.
What's that?
You don't have that access
We've
yet with them here.
Yeah, we're
just going slow.
Trying to work through with them.
Legal?
Know. And
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. our ultimate goal would be to, one of my projects this summertime is to get into Home Depot, Target, your major big box realtors, the stores, retailers. They're probably going to tell me to pound sand, but if I can get in there and sell them on this, and if there's something bad is happening,
like an armed robbery,
right, mm-hmm. giving us access at the time, not having full-time access to it, because I don't want to monitor their stores, but I want to have access to it if something bad happens. I don't think their legal is going to do it, but you know what? They're going to have to tell me no.
Yeah.
You know, if they tell me no, at least I can go in and say, hey, when something bad happens, like Dan just said, say, listen, we offered this, right? How about now? Some of the businesses, when we do plan reviews, Christy gets her stuff. I get all copies of plan reviews. I know you guys see my notes on there. One of the sections in there, camera access, right? Now, nobody's further along enough to actually give us access to it at this point. But I'd be looking for that a bit so that we can police Yorkville better. That makes sense.
Do you guys have plan access? I know the city has all the plans for all the buildings that come through, and they get uploaded. Some of this gets into...
So Christy is working with her group, and Pat McMahon has been involved in conversations for GIS. Mm-hmm. And the GIS thing that they're looking at is pretty incredible with the stuff. Just the information, again, like this, the information you can get. Part of that is building plans. And so once that is up and going, we would teach our people that.
How
so
to access it, bring it in, and have it in real time.
If we're going to 317 Essex Court and I want to try to get a plan of that house, I may potentially have the ability to get the plan for that house. So if we have to go in on a search warrant, now we have it. Could it be outdated? Yeah, right. But that's there's potential for that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, I'm learning quickly that this is an art. You know, it's not necessarily like, hey, go do this and you'll be successful, with so many different options. And, you know, I searched myself Garrett Carlisle, and it gave me a completely different set of results as if I searched Garrett _ Carlisle. And I think that's what's taken our guys a little while, is just learning the little nuances about how to search and what, you know, where to search to kind of get that information quickly, because it's there, and it's just, I spent way too much time the last couple of days messing with this, just going down the rabbit hole going, oh my gosh, like...
You're never coming back out.
Yeah, I just... And then you, like, you know, like, for example, I was looking at highly skilled grooming just because I had some concerns about some parties they were having this weekend. I'm like, I want to see what's out there. So I searched highly skilled grooming, and I asked it, hey, can you show me any businesses that's named that globally? It popped up the one in Yorkville over several others. I'm like, okay, that's it. Show me any social media posts. Pulls up all their Instagram posts. I'm like, I pull up pictures. I'm like, well, who's this person? They're posting a lot. I'm like, oh, okay, here's this girl. She must be part of this. And then you keep going and going and going and going. And so that's what's going to take a little while for our guys, is just to get efficient with that, to not get lost in that rabbit hole of circling around and just getting straight to what we need.
But this is the future of investigations. If anybody thinks that what we currently do in investigations, that we are ahead of the criminals, we're not. We are so far behind what the criminals technology-wise can do. This is the future of what detectives will be getting, what they should be doing, because everything is on the phone, social media, right? It's out there for open public consumption.
My social media.
One of the things that... One of the things
I'm
that
we're the
trying to do...
Wait, I could probably get it before you do it.
Take a quick snap of it. One of the things we're going to try to do is... You know, we talk about staffing for all the city departments, right? Police department included in that. One of the things that I think we need to try to do here is maybe not hire an officer for the street, but hire a full-time person up here. This is what they're trained to do, because they can take that data and help the people on the street to make them safer, right? And so that's ultimately where we're going. We are looking to potentially later on in the year, closer to the end of the year, maybe even taking a full-time person off the street and including them up here, because we see this helping not just street, but detectives. So,
what kind of training and support is it all right now, learn as you go, or is there training?
Well, so there was a 2-hour introductory class with this. We were anticipating getting guys here, so we've been sending our investigators to a lot of training for like dark web, OSINT is what they call it, open source investigative techniques. Those guys have been going to a lot of those classes. County has a full-time analyst that's working out of here, which is really nice. They just sent him to a two-week training in Arizona. So they've been getting overall training, but then specific to the programs, there's hours and hours of just online instruction. They volunteered to come in and do like a web-based instruction, and our guys were like, I can't have somebody tell me how to do it. I just need to work through it. So they've been sitting here kind of working through some of that stuff. And what I did was I didn't sign any lasting contracts. I made sure that we were able to kind of get out of stuff if we wanted to, because it's just a work in progress. My thought was, what seems good now, a few months from now, we might be like, no, not happening. So I made sure that we didn't do that. And we just worked as a group. I'm like, guys, this is ours together. I'll adjust if you want me to. Just point me in the right direction, you know, and so... That's kind of my plan going forward, is just work with what we got. If those guys are seeing that it's not working and there's another technology out there, then great. We didn't sign any contracts, and we'll just let the month expire and pivot and just kind of grow it from there. So
my hope is within 1 year, maybe a year and a half, to partner with HIDA and have a full-time HIDA analyst out here. So that way we have a county full-time person, we have a HIDA analyst, which HIDA is paying for, right? And then we utilize, if I can get a full-time person in here, utilize that, we buy one more computer station here, and we would have the other agencies from the county come in, so we could have potentially full-time. If I can make it 24/7, I would, because I think nighttime is where a majority of the stuff where you're going to need is at. So it's a start. We got the start. So
for a small fee, I can draw a geobuck fence around your kid's cell phones, and when it leaves that fence, it'll give us an alert.
Oncoming, prom.
So, just
school, college.
Prom's this weekend. How much is it?
We can't do it online, though, because I'll see the Venmo transaction.
One fee is one monitor.
Cash only, right?
Cash is king. Green card.
All right. Can I lock in the fee? No, my kids are only 8 and 10. So, give me 10 years. I don't want inflation driving that fee up.
No.
If it's $20 today, I want it $20 in 5 years.
Well, thanks for bearing with me. You guys showing
cool,
me that
man.
Stuff. It's neat. I just know the surface of it. You know, those guys that are in here all the time, they're getting better at it. But
Right? Yeah, no kidding, right? It's
glad you cleaned up your social media profile for us for this.
Hey, there's stuff on there that, like, it was, I'll tell you one funny story is that, so I searched mine, and a Pinterest came up from Mike Honcho, and I was like, what the heck? And I'm like, oh, I think I remember making that. And I clicked on it, and it was when we moved to that farmhouse, and I was saving stuff for grilling and for, like, redoing that old farmhouse. It had been years. And I'd forgotten all about it. Sure enough, that dumb thing was on there, and everything was in there. And so, even for like our background investigations with new hires and stuff, I mean, what would have taken days? We can just do this now, you know. So,
yeah,
that stuff follows you. Honestly, it's a great lesson for your kids and you know anybody. It's just once it's on there, it's on there. It's out there. You know, so.
All right. So, virtual system. We're gonna head over to the courthouse. Go back upstairs, grab everything we have. You guys can follow me over there. I'll pull my car. Just follow me. We are going to park in the back of the courthouse, walking in the back entrance. When we get there, I'll go through how we get into the courthouse. Only us and the sheriff's, it's our machine. The sheriff's office has granted us permission to put it in the courthouse. The judges haven't gone yet, just so you know.
Oh, I already know. So,
they granted us access to use it, so there's only us in the sheriff's office after hours that can use the machine. It is pretty cool. The county has done awesome. Their staff for the building and grounds, they've done a great job getting us ready to go. So you guys can do as many scenarios as you want. They do have a game, like duck shooting type thing. They've got games on this thing. It is pretty cool. We just got the rifle today, so there may be a little bit of difficulty with it because it's got to get in. It's an AR M4 platform on the rifle. It's an actual R rifle. We have to supply the rifle. They take the bolt out and put the special bolt in, and it's. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
So yeah,
I'll meet you guys out back. It's a great video game, dude.
Awesome.
You mean training device.
Training. Yes.
Yeah,
training.
Oh, yeah, thanks you guys.
I can't duck down real life.
I can't. Well, you know what?
Actually, part of that whole system, you could actually take video of Yorkville schools and put the video in there. And you can put the siren in the
house. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Criminals are getting smarter. You gotta get smarter too. We are so far behind. And the thing is, you deal mostly with the shithead, stupid criminals, right?
Yeah.
It's on the street.
We only catch the dumb ones,
right?
In all honesty.
Yeah. But like the real cybercrime guys, you know, the guys who are ripping people off for $100,000, the guys
yep.
making and selling kitty corn.
Yep.
Yeah, they're 10 steps ahead of you.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's why you need to have.
What's that?
That's why I need to get ahead of him.
Yeah, you're right.
So I heard you were in Detroit at the draft.
I was. It was crazy.
Well, I guess we will officially adjourn for the record. Close. We'll close this session and go to executive session.
We won't go to executive session until we get to the other building.
Okay, but that's where we're going.
Yeah.
And just if anyone wants to know, we will not be taking any action or votes once executive session closes, right?
Correct.
Now it's me.
All right.
All right.